Yes, Lord. Thank you that you are faithful, that you are and always will be Lord. Lord of every age, every time, Lord of all. And Jesus, thank you that you have good things planned for us. You're good. You're not just victorious and faithful, you're good. And I just want to thank you that your goodness is going to pass in front of us today as we hear your word. You're going to pass in front of our eyes today. We're going to see your goodness expressed in reality to us, each one of us, as we hear your voice, the voice of your word, come to our hearts and ears, inner ear, which we hear and see. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His name is to be praised. His name is to be praised. Amen. Wonderful. Welcome to our online worship. It's been wonderful to have our team back in live this morning. Thanks, guys. We do so appreciate those who are ministering here today. The whole team, some of which you see, and of course those we can't see, but without them, what we do for him and for you guys out there wouldn't be possible. So we're so thankful. Bless you all. And if you would take your seats, we're going to hear from Jesus today. And I know I've got a good word for you. I know I have. Last week I spoke a message about abiding in Christ and living in our home comforts, because he wants to abide in us, fill us with his fullness. And I'm aware very much, I was just talking to someone before the meeting, how fractious life can get, especially after such a year that has tested all of us, this whole scene that we've lived through. But also we have the added bonus of Christmas. And people are tired. People are wanting to just sit down and hope for better days next year. I think that's a whole lot of what's going on in our country. And I just know that Jesus has the answer for everything, and in all things, he is working out everything for his good. And I also know that the enemy is very nervous about what God is doing. And he's really nervous about where we are going. And because we're going somewhere to see God's kingdom come and his fruitfulness and his glory in our land, he tries to oppose, particularly by sending trouble or dis-ease or anxieties or problems our way. And in this life, you and I, as we have lived through a troubling year, we will always live through some kind of trouble or another. And of course, that ambulance is perfectly timed, because there are emergencies that break out suddenly in life that can cause huge anxieties. And we can have either big ones or little ones. But all these stresses are sent by the enemy of our soul, who tries to wear us down and wear us out through anxious thoughts and emotions. And he sends storms. You remember the disciples, they were with Jesus in the boat. Jesus was in the stern, he was asleep. And the disciples were just coping. And then, they were just going through this journey, going where Jesus had asked them to go. And the enemy who was behind this wasn't the will of God. The enemy was behind this great windstorm that suddenly happened on that lake. And, The trouble out there, they began to see the changing conditions. It happened quite quickly, I think, from what we read. And suddenly everything's disturbed out there. Isn't that often how a situation can happen? Suddenly we recognize there's trouble. And then the trouble gets a bit closer and comes into the boat. It starts to fill the boat. So whatever they're living in, and it gets so close to them that it becomes dangerous. But the worst of all thing happened is that the trouble out there that got into the boat then got into them. And that's the plan of the enemy, that any problems and any issues out there come into your boat and you feel like, I'm sinking with this, and then the trouble gets into you. And the fruit of anxiety and trouble and care in you, in your heart and mind, is that you're emotionally disturbed. You're mentally unwell. And this stressy person, or these disciples, you could say to them, how do you feel at the moment? They would have said, we don't feel great. And that's what anxiety and stress does to us, is that we don't feel great when it's happening to us. It can be little things too, not just big things. The little nagging thoughts that stress you. And sometimes it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back. I don't know if you know what I mean, but the last thing that comes in, because you've got so stressed about life, you're just about handling it, and then one more little thing comes in and you break up, or you break out in a temper tantrum. You have a hissy fit. Something explodes. And it's all because there's been a build-up mentally, emotionally, because we are reacting to the trouble or to what's happening to actually dominate our minds and emotions and be focused on problems. This is a huge issue. If we're going to live the life Jesus wants us to live, we cannot live it anxious. That is the plan of the enemy. Because anxiety steals your faith, trust, and even your relationship with God. Because it has this separating effect. Because you're so consumed by what the problem is, you're no longer thinking about God. Now I put it to you that in that very boat within reach was the God of ages, was the Lord who made everything, who is all powerful. But actually, they didn't turn to him when the troubles were out there. They didn't turn to him when it came in. They only turned to him, not in a prayer of faith, but almost a critical comment. I don't know if you've ever read that prayer that says, Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. That's not exactly a prayer of faith. It's a little bit judgmental and a bit annoyed. How could you sleep? Well, Jesus was in bigger hands than a storm. Don't know if you realize we're in God's hands. He's bigger than any windstorm. He's bigger than any problem. And he has defeated death. We've sung it this morning. How could you, Jesus, ignore us and ignore the problem and sleep through this? And Jesus gets up in peace, mind not bothered, and he speaks peace. He commands, he rebukes the storm, and peace comes. Isn't it interesting that peace is the beginning of reigning in life. That trouble is the beginning. Anxiety, stress is the beginning of defeat. And so we have to say that peace is a huge issue. That when Jesus arrived and was born, do you remember? Peace on earth was the message. Goodwill to all men. In other words, God's peace. God himself and Jesus, the presence of a person, is the access point, the one who brings peace. He brings peace with God through forgiveness of sins. As we trust in him, as we believe in him, we have peace with him. And it's wonderful to know your sins are forgiven. It's wonderful to know that he has removed all your sin. But it's even more wonderful to know he's come to live in you. That he is living in you. God himself on the inside. And peace with God is only the beginning of the great, amazing life that Jesus has planned for us to live. Because he wants his people to live continuously in peace. Wow. And he wouldn't say this if it wasn't possible. He wants us to live continuously in peace. You see, the Christian life is not about living free from trouble. Because Jesus actually said, in the world you'll have a lot of trouble. A lot of stuff is going to come at you, like it did on the lake that day for the disciples. But he actually says, don't let your heart be troubled. In this world you'll have trouble, but don't let it come in to your heart and your mind. Don't let it dominate you. Because stressy people are not people of peace and faith. Amen. Let's just read these amazing verses from John chapter 14. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but instead of just celebrating his birth, let's celebrate he's here, and let's celebrate that we have a life to live that is a life of peace because Jesus came, because he became man, because he went to the cross, because he rose again, and because we received him. We have his life to live. It's he is our peace. And so Jesus says these words, which I think are astounding, and I've taken them on personally. 27 of chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let fear, anxiety, take hold of you. Who's going to do the not letting? Me. I've got a choice here. You've got a choice as to whether you are going to live in his peace or you're going to let the trouble trouble you. Don't let the trouble trouble you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Actually, in John 14 earlier, he said, trust in God, trust also me. Rely on me. Now, the disciples waited a long time before they turned to Jesus. And when they turned, it was more of an accusation than a request for intervention. And I know that it's horrible to be stressed out. It's horrible to be filled with anxious thoughts. It's horrible to feel your heart suddenly get into a panic that you physically react and have a panic attack. I want to tell you, panic attacks can finish today. If you listen to the words of Jesus, to not let them get hold of you and come on in. And I'll show you the secrets of that. But we do not have to then allow anxiety to come in. We should be an advert for Jesus. Christmas should be all about us showing the peace of God that passes understanding, rather than troubled with everybody else's trouble and troubled along with everybody else. And so Jesus says, don't let... Well, you might say to him, Ivan, you don't know my problems. You don't know my problems. I've got every reason. Can I just use reasonable language? I've got every reason to be troubled. Do you know how serious the situation I'm in? Well, Jesus said this on the way to the cross. The greatest point of anyone's life, Jesus took on the greatest trouble of all troubles. He took on the enemy and he took on separation from God when he became sin for us. And so he knew what he was talking about. And he knew that he was going to go through this in peace. He set it out and he said to the disciples, I don't want to let you, I'm going to tell you something. Don't let it in. Because if you let it in, it will dominate you and it can ruin your joy in life. It can ruin your peace. In fact, it will ruin your peace. He actually says you've got every reason not to be anxious. I don't know if you could say that over yourself. I've got every reason not to be anxious. I've got every reason. Why? Because the Christian life isn't an absence of problems. It's the presence of someone. The Christian life isn't an absence of trouble. It's the presence of Jesus, the God who always was, always is, and always will be the same. Jesus Christ is the same. As we read in history, he's the same in you today. And with him, all things are possible. I know when I'm stressed, I kind of lose sight of the Lord. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't talk to him, but I talk like this. Oh, God, help. Lord, please do something. You've got to do something. Rather than a relationship of faith that says, Lord, thanks that you're here. And I can invite you in prayer to come and solve this right now. That's faith. Like a child with a father who is capable of doing what the child can't do. Who loves them, cares about them, has got a plan beyond this trouble to actually reach people with the saving power of Jesus and to see the powerful kingdom come. After this journey, oh, it's one of my favorites. Favorite things that Jesus did. There was a man tormented, living in the tombs, cutting himself, suicidal. And Jesus came and set him free. After the storm, there is a whole lot of victory. But if the trouble comes in and gets into us, there isn't. Because we are his representatives and we're going across to a place where we're going to see the power of God in our days and in our future. People who live stressed out have heart problems. They die early. It's a big deal. That is a big deal. God wants you on the earth for years and years that you finish your race. But you can let trouble trouble you, that it actually affects your health and well-being. It's a huge issue. Peace is a huge issue. It's not a side issue. It's massive that we are to live in his peace. They have skin problems. They have mental problems. They have emotional and relational problems. The people who are stressed out are like a firecracker waiting to go off. They're reactionary people. If somebody offends them, they just rail. And you know, that stress, let alone what it's doing to everybody else, it's what it's doing to you. Others internalize their anxieties, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper on the inside, and they get heavier and heavier and heavier, more and more of a black cloud. Wherever they go, it's raining. Wherever they go, it's really freezing cold. Where everybody else is in the sunshine, they are downright misery on legs. And stress, worry, anxiety, these are the things that can come on into us so that we don't sleep, our relationships fall apart. But most of all, we're not living in the secret of all secrets. His life, seeing that he is with us, and our focus on him, not letting problems. Oh, what a wonderful thing it would be to have the next, all your days, let's put it like that, but how about a Christmas so filled with God's peace that you're just that chilled, the turkey gets burnt, or you don't have a turkey, so-and-so, you've only got a few people allowed to come and they didn't show. Imagine that one, and you lose your peace. Or anything and everything that comes, the little things and the big things, it spoils the life of Jesus. And he wants us to live not a life of peace with decision, but with his power. It's not just a choice, it's with his ability. The Holy Spirit is the power to live in peace. Not our ability. We make the right choices, but he is the power. He himself is the giver of peace. Paul had a lot of trouble in his life. By the way, I just want to go back. I feel the Lord's putting it to me. Don't die early. I'm talking to somebody out there. It's time to stop being stressed out. It's time to start learning and trusting. And I believe that if you do not let your heart be troubled and you don't get so stressed out about what you've got to do, God's going to do things, maybe different to what you thought. But you're going to live a long life. And he will show his salvation to you. Stressed out people often end up doing their own thing, not God's thing. And I just believe we've got to get back to Jesus, who is our life, so that we center everything around the person and not our goals, our work, we've got to get this done. We want this done. What about God, who wants this done? He wants to fill us with himself and his peace. Don't leave this life early. Some of you are sick because of stress. And today's the day where that ends. If you want it to end, let's stop this right now. It doesn't mean to say that you haven't got a workload on you, you haven't got things you've got to do, but it's the power in which you're doing them. And that workload doesn't get loaded inside you because you're living in his peace. So that he then helps you, enables you to carry the load that you've got to bear. You know I was going there, but we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4. Oh, but I don't want us just to go there. I want us to experience this. Huh? I don't just want to teach this morning. I want him to move with power into your life and into your living room and into your own well-being. God wants you well. Peace. Shalom. That's why he came. The power of a person and his presence filling us. Philippians. You're probably there already. I am not. I'm talking too much, am I? Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 4 and I think we'll go down to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness, not your stressiness. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Just always remember, he's there. He hasn't come to hibernate in you. He's come to live and work through you. Amen. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What wonderful words. Paul, who knew a lot of trouble, in fact, all the way through his life, he was troubled. But trouble didn't get him. God filled him. He was a man of peace, even in trouble. I've noticed how at Christmas time everybody's got a favourite recipe for turkey. Every magazine you look at, although I don't look at many, but on the cover you see, read this chef's magazine, this recipe for a great turkey and wonderful potatoes, crispy, so crispy you want to eat so many. And read this for puddings and read it for all of this. And I'm like, do you know what people really want is peace. The recipe. This is the recipe. And it's like expecting what you see in the magazines to happen for you just because you read it. That recipe isn't going to make itself. You're going to have to do the recipe before you get the results, yeah? And it's the same with this. Paul says, trouble will come, but this is what to do. Anxieties and stresses will come, but this is what you can do. This is the recipe for a peace that passes all understanding. You can't work it out why you're so filled with peace. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's not human. It's God himself filling you with peace. I want that to be our goal. This is God's goal for you and me. That we have this all-surpassing peace in everything. So let's look at this recipe if we intend to get to the results. How many of you, I want the result. I hope you're at home saying, this is what I want. But I've got to go through the process so that I get the result. He starts with rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord, not in the trouble. Rejoice that he's good. He's our salvation. He's with us. And the Greek and the Hebrew are very interesting here. Because the always means always. Just thought I'd say that. That's the Greek interpretation. Always means always. And also for everything. In everything. It means everything. So it's not confusing. So Paul says, this is the recipe. I rejoice that I'm saved. I rejoice that in this prison, he was in a prison when he wrote this, God's with me. I haven't got just another human with me. I've got God with me. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Rejoice in him. Let your gentleness, that's how we're to live out. He is gentle and humble in heart. Not pushy. Not always pressing for our opinion to come over first. But gentle and humble in heart. But he says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything pray. I wonder if on your iPad or your screensaver or in your office or in your business place or in your home, you would write in everything pray. Or on this church wall, in everything pray. Everywhere we are, God says, in everything pray. In everything, at work, at school, in the hairdressers, in everything, pray. When you're on your own, when you're having fun, when you're doing whatever you're doing, raising the children, in everything, pray. What would life be like if in everything we prayed? This is the recipe that if we do this, what will result is a life of his peace. In everything, present your requests, pray. With thanksgiving, bring things to God, bring things to Jesus, and say, Lord, I'm turning to you. He's here. But in my heart, I'm turning to you. Like last week, we turned to behold him, but we're turning to you. And Lord, in this moment, I thank you that you are the solution, or you are the ability for me to not act out in the flesh. Or you are the ability in me to give wisdom because I don't know what to do. You are the one who provides all things, so I don't know where my provision's coming from, but you are the one who will provide however you choose. In everything, pray. Love that. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, in everything pray. Thanksgiving is actually, after you've prayed, it's so important because thanksgiving expresses faith that believes before you see it. That's what thanksgiving does. When you've prayed, Jesus said, believe you've received it. So if we believe we have received, which is what simple childlike faith does, even though we haven't seen it happen yet, then we'll thank him before it's manifest, before it's visible. So in everything, pray with thanks. Never miss out the power of your thankfulness. Because once you've prayed, just say, thank you, Father, that you've heard me. I've prayed according to your will. And I know that I will have. And if I'm going to have what I've asked for, I'm ever so thankful that you're going to supply and meet that need right now. However you choose to do it, I just know that you will. I can't work out how, but I believe it with all of my heart. In everything, pray with thanks. Isn't it amazing when you see the model, the life of Jesus? Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the cup, took the bread, and he gave thanks. On the night he was betrayed. Human betrayal is a terrible thing. When someone leaves you or betrays you, it's an awful, awful thing. But on that night, as he's facing, also going to his suffering, he gave thanks. If he can do it, how much more can we do it, trusting him that in the end, God will bring about his purpose? We don't understand everything. I want you to know, I don't understand everything. But I do understand that he is worthy to be thanked. In everything. that when we've prayed, we trust him, that he is good, and he will work his good purposes through all things. He's good. He also prayed, just one more little thanksgiving prayer, with the bread and fish. He took the bread and fish. He took the not enough. And he gave thanks. I don't know what you don't have enough of. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough peace of my own. I don't have enough joy. I don't have enough power. But in everything, I give thanks. Because he is my more than enough. And as I thank him for the little, he multiplies what I have. He takes my nothing and creates something. Why? Because he's the word that creates from nothing something wonderful. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Let your request be made known to God. It's wonderful. And even when things are going good, in everything. That's also everything. Love that. Not just when they're going bad. If you're a Christian who prays just when it's going bad, let me tell you, it's a bit of a childlike relationship with God. It's a bit immature. Children do that. Hey, where? They start like that. I want, I want, I want. They get to their threes. I really want, I want, I want. But they're trained up in the ways, aren't they, to grow up, to become mature. And they begin to think differently and take responsibility. And actually, we need to make sure that we're not just praying because we've got a problem, but we're praying that his kingdom will come. Because it's about him, actually, ultimately, and his will be done. Not just about our needs, but what he wants to do on earth through our lives. So it's a whole lot more than God meeting my need. But I'm here for him and his kingdom to come. So that's a whole in everything. It's not just bad times, it's good times as well. Lord, let your kingdom come. And this is the result. This is the turkey that's coming out perfectly. This is your roasties and your wonderful meal. This is the recipe. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. So in other words, this is the result. But it's not what you try and make happen. It's what he gives. As you connect with him, pray, rejoice, pray with thanks. Your all focus is on him, not on the trouble, not on the problem, not on the windstorm. But your focus is dominated by him. Then the peace of God, you are transformed by the powerful peace that passes all understanding. It's our role to do this bit, and it's his job to give us his peace. Love that. I need to know what I do, and I need to know what only he can do. He gives his peace. And then it says about this, guarding your hearts and minds. Because that's what the enemy attacks. Your mind and your heart. Why? Because with your heart, if anxieties get deep, he knows he's got you in doubt and unbelief. Because when you start to believe, you see, we believe with our heart. So we believe fear thoughts. We believe that this is going to be terrible thoughts. So if it goes from your mind and heart, then he's got your ability to actually trust God that he's going to do something great in this. And so God's peace is like this army of soldiers. It's like a symbol of an army guarding. It's a military term that guards your mind. So in other words, if you've got like an army around my head, then anything the enemy tries to throw in can't get in. will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. So in other words, he won't be able to get in. Why? Because the peace is actually the protection. God's peace, his life, is the protection we need so that he can't come in with anxious thoughts. He gives the peace, he gives the protection as we do our part in prayer with thanksgiving. And then finally, and I don't think it's a kind of, you can't go on winning unless you do this bit. You can receive peace, but you can go and lose it again if you're not careful. It's amazing how you can, in a moment, feel peace in a meeting or a time of prayer, and then you can go, has anybody ever thought, I thought I'd received it, but it's gone again. Where did that go? So Paul knew all about this. I mean, he was just as real and normal as we are. And he knew how life worked, because God taught him. And so he said, you're not just going to pray and then go back to this, you know, this cycle of pray, peace, anxiety, pray, peace, anxiety, pray, peace, anxiety, pray. I mean, somebody needs to break the cycle. Well, it starts with pray, peace, and then finally, whatever things are true, think noble, think pure, think lovely, think virtuous, think good report, think positive, think faith, think promises, think God, think goodness of God, think he is powerful, think. So, to break the cycle, and I believe many will today, that's what I believe God's going to do. He's going to break the cycle of prayer, peace, and back to anxiety. Is that you? This is God's not going to do this for me. I wish he would. Because it'd be much easier if my brain had like a delete and then a new program. But I've got my own will. I can think about flying pigs and let you think about them too by saying it. Because words create thoughts and visions. And the word we need to live by is God and his promises. Hope-filled future. So a good report. Ah, my goodness me. I've got to do this, or I will lose what God gave me. God begins to work, you see, as soon as we pray. He goes to work. He begins to work by filling us with his peace so we can, until we see the answer, we can live in peace. But we've got to make sure that our thought life, I tell you, we've got to say, no. And I don't mean, hope no children are saying that, but I just mean don't allow those things to resettle in your head. The trouble may not have gone away, but God's on it. And you have to start thinking about what God's going to do rather than what the trouble's doing. Reset, refocus, and choose to think on what is true. That's the word of God. And lovely, Jesus. Everything about him is lovely. Everything about him is good. You know what really helps me sometimes when I'm totally stressed out? And it happens. And Paul knew that it would happen, and Jesus did. That's why he said, don't let it come in, because it will come. The temptation to be stressed out. It really helps me, this picture that Moses' parents, you know, their faith. And they had this beautiful baby at a time where we cannot imagine how bad that time was. Where all the male children were killed. Can you imagine living in a state? This really happened. Where children were being murdered. by Pharaoh, but actually by the enemy. And the enemy has come always. He always tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And everything about your faith would be, this is impossible. Nobody else's child has survived. How should I survive this? And how many of you know that mentality stinks? That even if somebody else doesn't see a victory, Jesus has won the victory for us to live in a victorious life. I tell you, just because somebody else in the family got something doesn't mean to say, I'm going to... Do you see, it's a wrong thinking. The enemy's stinking thinking can get into your thinking. So that then it sinks you into accepting that this must be your lot for your child. But Moses' parents, oh, their faith was incredible. They saw Moses having a destiny in God. God's got a good plan. And so in every trouble and every problem and everything the enemy is doing, we need to look at things like, Lord, you've got a good plan. And remember Moses, this gift of this child, the most precious gift, they put him in a basket. And you remember they put him in the Nile, and then Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river and hears him crying. I love it that God's even control of a baby crying to get some woman's emotions going and saying, oh, it's a Hebrew, but I still, oh, coochie, 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 coochie. Because really, in reality, you know, it's inhumane to kill children. And this spoke to this woman. But it always speaks to me of prayer, that when those parents took that precious cargo and let him go into the Nile, they weren't letting him go to the river. To the circumstances, to I wonder what would happen. They weren't letting him go to Pharaoh's hands. They were putting him into God's hands. Because you see, worry makes you keep hold of something precious. People we love. The things we care about. And God says, you let them go to me. Because I've got a plan. And I'm going to bring about my purpose if you trust me. For me, that always speaks of, I see myself kind of doing the Moses basket. Out you go. You're going to the Lord. People that are really important to me. The church that I love. The body of Christ here. I absolutely love the body. But it can become a stress for me. Your spiritual walk can become... I can get stressed. I can glimpse one of you from a distance and wonder where the heck you are with the Lord. I can get, whoa! Are they walking with God? Just because I don't see you doesn't mean to say I don't stress sometimes. But I know that I can put the precious cargo. It's his church anyway. And I give it over to him. And he begins to work his amazing plan. Wow! Peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you today that you are our peace. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. And that, Lord, you are speaking to us about not letting the trouble us and fill our lives with anxiety and stress. Lord, more than that, you want to fill us with your peace that comes through trusting. That when we've prayed, in everything we're praying, with thanksgiving, your peace will begin to rule and reign in our emotions. There will be an end to the mental and emotional stresses of life. And there will be a supernatural protection on our minds. And we pray today that we will let your peace rule us and not let trouble take over. Lord, help us to make that choice today. And like Moses' parents, in faith, entrust all things precious, financial people, finances, children, health, just our future, the church, everything, Lord, into your hands, because you are the God who works as we trust you and pray. And so we thank you for the peace that we have known, and we thank you that we can reset our thoughts so that we don't go back and revisit our problems, but we live constantly living with your presence and with your promises. Lord, may I be and may we be a people of your peace, lasting. And Lord, for whoever it was, that word about being so stressed out about their lives, I pray that they would return to you as their first love. Stop focusing on things that really are not as important as you are. Because, Lord, you've got health planned. You've got peace. And you've got a protection over their lives to bring upon their hearts and minds so that they will live a healthy, blessed, God-filled life. So, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit that is behind all the trouble that troubles us. And in peace, your peace, I rule and I speak peace. Be quiet, be still. And let the peace of God reign in your people and through them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, and have a peace-filled experience with God. And if you need to go to prayer sometime today, just get on your knees with the Lord. Just get all the trouble out of you and get all the goodness of God in. Amen. And live different because of Jesus. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.